I'm on my way to actually go see a band.
So it's the Skull Vodka for my friend's birthday.
A karaoke bar where the drinks are a little bit cheaper and you can sneak some in.
And we're going to celebrate our birthday party.
It's Friday night in Sydney's inner city. It's 5 o'clock and the city is getting ready to party.
Let's get maggot.
There will be dinner, maybe burgers. If you're serious though, eating is cheating.
So if everyone's going to drink it, are we better off getting a cask?
Someone's house will be co-opted for prees, and from 6 to 9 p.m, the drinking begins. The drink of choice is beer, cider, and wine. Why wine? Well, it's dirt cheap.
We could always get this one. If we get three of them for $33, so we could be drinking wine for the rest of the year.
So how much have you had tonight already?
We started at 12. So, yeah, you seem a little shocked by that. That's lethal. So, I don't know, maybe 10, 12.
And are you going to keep going tonight?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Although, maybe not for long. Under a new proposal by the Royal Australasian College of Physicians, wine could be taxed at the same rate as beer and other spirits. It's called a volumetric tax and could see a bag of 4-litre goon increase from $15 to $27.
So you purchased cask wine. How much did that cost you?
$9.
And would that $9 be different if it was $27, $30?
No, I think it's worth it. It's 4 litres and we're going to make sangria, so it's still good.
But let's take a step back here. Australia's current alcohol taxation has been described as a dog's breakfast because of its overcomplicated nature. Basically, there are two ways to tax alcohol, by volume or as a proportion of the retail price. Australia currently uses both types of tax, depending on what type of booze you're buying. If you are into spirits, think vodka, rum and whiskey, you're paying $1 in alcohol tax per standard drink, and that's before GST. This is volumetric tax. You're paying depending on how much alcohol is in the product. We could talk about beer and cider, but that is way too confusing. Beer alone has 8 different types of tax. What you need to know is that wine is not taxed by alcohol content. It's taxed by its retail price. It's called a wine equalisation tax, or WET. Wine is taxed at a different rate because, according to the wine industry, it is made differently to beer and spirits. Andrew Weeks is the Executive Director of Wine Grape Growers Australia.
It's different because it has a very large regional footprint. It is the product of a production cycle that happens once a year, so therefore you have wine companies with very heavy capital investments that are only able to be activated and to gain a return on that capital once a year, and that's dictated by the ripening of the wine grapes.
For example, if you splurge on a $700 bottle of Penfolds Grange, the tax is going to be higher than a $10 bottle of whatever you've pulled off the shelf. And this is where the debate lies, because volumetric taxing would hit wine hardest, specifically cheap retail wine.
We'd like to see a comprehensive suite of changes put in place that will reduce the problems from alcohol, not affect people who drink responsibly, but reduce the problems from alcohol.
Professor Nick Talley is the president of the Royal Australasian College of Physicians, the body behind the latest push for volumetric tax. It's an idea that's been floating around for a while now. The last big push for volumetric tax was in 2009 under the Henry Tax Review. Professor Talley and the Royal Australasian College of Physicians believe taxing alcohol will result in less alcohol-related harm.
Price is pretty important, actually, based on the data that's available. So there have been some social experiments, if you like, that have looked at this. I mean, in the Northern Territory in the early 90s, there was a living with alcohol problem. They put a levy on standard drinks, 5 cents only, and they also put a 35-cent levy on cask wine. And over a 4-year period, they showed a 22% reduction in alcohol drinking, a 20%, nearly death rate reduction, 20%, and a 66% reduction in hospitalizations related to alcohol-related problems. Now, I would argue that's impressive, and that's a small price shift with a pretty big change.
with the cost of alcohol-related harm costing Australia between $15 and $36 billion a year, depending on which study you read, any reduction could be a good thing. Professor Talley says that they have modelled research which says volumetric tax would reduce the rates of death and injury by a third.
So a 10% price increase would probably lead to alcohol-related deaths and other injuries reducing by around about, according to the experts, a third.
And he's not the only one who thinks price is a factor for reducing consumption. John Wardle is a senior lecturer in the Faculty of Health at UTS.
Price is one of the major drivers of consumption of alcoholic beverages. This is by sin taxes, as they're called in public health, which is probably not a really good name for them, but it's what they like to call them. You know, are so effective because that's the one thing that really, really does drive consumer behaviour. It works in tobacco, it works in alcohol, it works in it'll work with sugary drinks if they bring in a sugar tax, for example.
On the streets of Sydney, the reaction was mixed.
If the price of alcohol were to increase, do you think you'd stop drinking as much?
Probably. Yeah, probably, yes, definitely.
So if it got any more expensive than that, do you reckon you guys would still be buying alcohol?
100%.
Probably, yeah.
So price isn't a factor?
Not really, no.
Unfortunately,
if you don't have enough money, then just make more money.
Yeah, that's roughly where we are. We work hard, we spend a lot of it.
Wine rose in price. Would you still buy it?
Yes, because I love wine. Yes. Yes. But I still like, I always buy it on sale. It's good, yeah.
So if they rose to like $5, $6 each, I would still get them. Yeah, I like to drink alcohol. I like the taste of it. I never overdo it. So I think I would still get a few. I wouldn't go overboard though.
Cheap. Today cheap. Yeah.
If it was more expensive, would you buy it?
Yeah. I mean, not today, but yeah, maybe next weekend when I get paid.
Andrew Weeks from Wine Grape Growers Australia isn't convinced.
Look, I think what I would like to see is that taxation policy in regard to wine is based on evidence. And the evidence out there at the moment is not strong that there is a case for taxing wine more heavily. We've often heard cask wine berated and used as a target for that, yet cask wine consumption has continued to decline over years. Wine itself is not heavily implicated. If you look at the National Household Drug and Alcohol Survey figures, wine doesn't figure largely amongst the product of choice amongst those, in particular, young drinkers who are drinking at heavy levels.
Andrew does have a point. According to the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare, in 2013, the majority of young people preferred pre-mixed drinks and beer. So who is drinking all this cheap wine? According to a Roy Morgan survey from last year, people aged 65 and over were 60% more likely to go for cask wine than the average wine drinker. But so too are 18 to 24-year-olds. One can assume pensioners and students are the ones who will struggle to afford wine if volumetric tax becomes reality.
Just simply changing a tax on it and making a product more expensive focuses all the reaction to that is going to be on price-sensitive drinkers. Those who tend to consume lower-priced wine are overwhelmingly people on low or fixed incomes who tend to be people over the age of 55, such as pensioners and grey nomads. They're the people who tend to drink the lower-priced wine. I think it's like using a sledgehammer to crack a walnut. It's probably an ineffective measure.
The socioeconomics of drinking mean that people who have less money will not be able to afford alcohol. John Wardle again.
There's a lot of socioeconomic drivers behind alcohol consumption. You know, the same arguments you can make with smoking. This doesn't necessarily mean that people are smoking because they deserve a reward or something like that. This is not, you know, why they're drinking or smoking or whatnot. It's more the socioeconomic disparities that create an environment which requires a lot of the community to self-medicate themselves with these things. So, you know, I think we focus so much on, you know, let them have a drink, when really we should be focusing on reducing the social, you know, socioeconomic inequalities that are causing this problem in the first place.
Professor Talley also compares alcohol pricing to that of tobacco. And like tobacco, alcohol pricing will affect the most disadvantaged.
I acknowledge that if you were to tax cheap alcohol, that would affect some strata of society more than others, and that is true. And I realise that some people who are drinking responsibility, who don't have a lot of money, may say, well, why am I being targeted? And of course, they're not being targeted. But the problem is the harmful effects are so significant. They are so major. They don't just affect people who are drinking. They affect their family and the rest of the community, that I believe, and the College of Physicians, the group of doctors, and a lot of which are experts in this, agree, we do need to do something. It's a little bit like smoking. I mean, current prices of smoking really hit the socioeconomically disadvantaged, but on the other hand, nobody should be smoking.
But will the added cost of alcohol reduce the cost of alcohol's society-related harm? Andrew Weeks thinks wine is not to blame for the violence we now see every weekend across Australia.
That would probably resonate with your listeners if they look at the causes of alcohol-fueled violence and the people that are implicated. They're predominantly in urban night spots. Young people under the age of 35, predominantly male, those people are not predominantly wine drinkers.
It's not just the violence we can see, though. As John Wardle points out, the violence we should be worried about is in the home, and that can be fueled by cheap alcohol bought from the local shops.
Most alcohol-related violence doesn't happen on the streets, it happens in the homes. And it happens in the homes due to cheap alcohol fueling domestic violence. So if we're really serious about tackling alcohol-related violence, it's pointless just locking down King's Cross without actually addressing all these other factors that are causing violence that conveniently we just don't happen to see because it happens in people's homes.
John recommends not only a volume-based tax, but a minimum floor price on alcohol. This means that alcohol couldn't be sold below a certain price.
So companies can actually, they don't have to pass on the entire cost to the customer. And this is what you see with Coles and Woolworths, for example, in their 2-for-1 promotions of alcohol, wine in particular, sometimes beer, is that they're often paying the customer to take away a bottle of wine in the hope that they'll go to Liquorland or whatever, BWS or whatever store is associated with that supermarket and get hooked, basically. So they're essentially subsidising that customer's alcohol purchase. So, but the minimum floor price would do would say that, you can only the customer has to pay this much for a bottle of wine.
The wine industry is also concerned that any tax will drive away customers and thus affect business. Andrew says it's not the first time they've managed to dodge a volumetric tax on wine.
I just think the main point about coming up with taxation policy on wine, it's important that it's based on evidence and not based on emotion. In the past, this volumetric tax has not gained traction because the industry has rightly said that it's going through very difficult times at the moment, but it's difficult to see, based on evidence, how there's ever going to be a good time for such an ill-conceived tax with such potentially bad outcomes.
It's no easy feat, balancing the wine industry's profitability versus keeping the population healthy.
There are always ideological, opposition to any sin tax. There's this sort of idea that people just want to take your fun things away. That's certainly not true. It's just about, enjoying them moderately rather than excessively.